What a win it was yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. They moved to 5-0 on the season. Welcome in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Monday morning. I tell you what, I've seen a lot of Titans games over the years. I've been here since they came to town, and there has been a lot of boring football at times. This team, Joe, not boring. Certainly not boring anymore. Man, what a game yesterday.
Yeah, definitely not boring. Nice King is born there. I got you. I see what you're putting down there.
This is what I do, producer extraordinaire. This is kind of the things that I put together.
That was good.
I always like to tie in, you know, nicknames and stuff into songs and put them all together.
Very nice. So
I could play California Love later because, you know, it is.
Yeah, we got the Dodgers. Unbelievable. The Braves Vols fans right now, that's a brutal place to be.
But at least you got the Titans.
But the Titans That's also, by the way, the first time in NFL history that you've got a 350-yard passer, 200-yard rusher. You got a third down at the 5. Third and goal. You have a quarterback who is absolutely throwing darts. I mean, really, Ryan Tannehill is one of the top handful of players in the NFL right now.
He is.
And you go Wildcat.
That's awesome.
And seriously, so Cal Baxter told me this after the game because you know, like you're in the moment, you know, but he was in the press box and he's like, yeah, as soon as that they lined up, you were like, wait, are they going Wildcat? Like I yelled that out in the press box and they went Wildcat and Derrick Henry just scored it. There's something else. That combo of players is doing some special stuff right now. And of course, this also may come with a big cost, and we'll probably find that out this morning when Taylor Lewan gets an MRI.
Yeah, we're going to get into that a little bit later, but some scary looking injury yesterday for Taylor Lewan. You kind of saw it on his face, like they showed the replay, and he was just looking down at his knee like he knew something really bad had just happened. So that could end up being an absolute disaster for the Titans. We'll see what the MRI reveals. Jake Glazer, of course, reporting that it could be a torn ACL.
That the Titans fear.
Yes.
So, that, you know, I've seen the situation where, you know, the team fears something and it's not that severe. But, yeah, he was looking into the crowd when he came. That's one thing. It was like he was looking – I think he was trying to find, you know, his family probably. And he had a very distraught look on his face. And then he's, you know, in the locker room the rest of the game. All bad signs.
Ryan Tannehill, 30 of 41 yesterday, 364, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. Derrick Henry, 22 carries, 212 yards, 2 touchdowns. The called shot on Friday was that he pops the big one. He gets 50 or more yards, and he hit him with 94 yards. 94 yards right up the gut.
You did call that shot. Nice. It's better than basically how you and I did on the pick'em this week.
Boy.
But great called shot. Yeah, and I'm telling you, I mean, first of all, that run, and you missed it in real time, but it was that low stiff arm that got him free, but also the change of direction, and then the acceleration there, there's just never been. I mean, I wrote about Derrick Henry today at The Athletic, and I stand by this statement. There's never been anybody like this guy in the NFL. There have been big backs with speed like Christian Okoye. There have been certainly plenty of home run hitters. You know, guys like Adrian Peterson are physical and speedy, but 6'3", 250. Doing the outrunning everyone, you know? It's just – and then he gets the 53-yard pass play in overtime. And then, again, Wildcat.
I thought he was going to score.
Just go Wildcat.
No, he almost did. On that pass play, I thought he was going to score. He, like, threw two people off of him, and I was like, he is going to get in the end zone and pick up the goalpost and chuck him into the Cumberland River. Like, it was – I thought he was going. But, man, he was – you could tell early on. I think his first carry, he popped off like an 18-yard carry. I was like, okay, this is going to be the day that he just has his way with the defense, and he did. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch at times.
Yeah, and I know it's like obvious to say this, but he looked a bit more just explosive to me. I thought against Buffalo there were some times I wasn't like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with Derrick Henry? But there were a couple players where I was like, wow, I thought he was going to crease that, and he didn't. And whatever that was or wasn't, you know, that may have just been good defense, and he got tackled, but that explosiveness was there on display yesterday. So,
and we're going to talk about Ryan Tannehill obviously a lot throughout the show today, and specifically what we talked about last week in the MVP conversation. We're going to talk about that around 6:30. But it was one of those things, Joe, that even yesterday in the second half, and I tweeted this out, you know, when they, things were unraveling and kind of falling apart for the Titans, you know, in years past, you just say, oh, they're about to lose this game. I just never felt that way. Like, I never felt like they were going – even when they went down by the touchdown and Romeo Crennel decided to go for 2 points and let the Titans stay in the game that way, I thought, okay, here it is. Here's Tannehill. And sure enough, he just leads them right down the field. And I thought on that last play to A.J. Brown, they were gonna spike it.
Yeah,
me too. And when I saw him line up in the shotgun, I was like, okay, I guess he's not. And just a great ball to A.J. Brown. I still don't know if A.J. Brown caught it, but it was close. But I just a great drive there by Tannehill. Never out of the game.
Yeah. No, you know, 106 seconds, 76 yards. A lot of Humphreys yesterday, a lot of Firkser yesterday. I mean, huge game for Firkser. And, yeah, I thought they were going to spike it too. I asked Tannehill about that after the game, and he was like, basically, if you can get one off there, then you have – now, you could, I think, easily have two shots for sure if you spike there. So, like, if that play didn't work – now you still get another shot. I guess it's either way, you're probably looking at two shots. But I think a lot of times it's like, okay, get the spike set up. But if you know what you're going to run and you have the matchup, and that's what he said. He's like, basically, I mean, it's just, there's no safety over there. It's I'm just throw the fade to my best player, you know? And it was a perfect pass. I mean, Tannehill, again, how many dimes yesterday? You know, the one over two guys to, I believe that was also Firkser. Yeah. You know, the TD to Humphreys, where usually you're not expecting Humphreys to run a route like that, and he does, and the safety's not there, and it's just a gimme. But I think the one thing with Tannehill, and we'll see with Luan, but he has stood in. He has had great protection, and he's also, even when he hasn't had the best protection, he has stood into the last second and taken the hit and delivered the ball. And you do wonder, moving forward, mentally, what does it do when you don't have your best offensive lineman, if that's the case?
Yeah, and that's certainly – and look, you know, Tyson Braylo, I mean, he came in yesterday and immediately – I mean, J.J. Watt said, you know where I'm going? I'm going to line up right across from number 70 and made an impact play, made the sack, stripped Brian Tannehill, and the Texans really – at that point, that's where they started to take over the game.
Yeah.
In the second half. So that just goes to show you – how important Taylor Lewan is to this team. So hoping if you're a Titans fan for some good news today, or at least some better news than we expect to see coming out of Taylor Lewan, but we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully we'll get that at some point while we're on the show today. Joe, I watched that game yesterday, and really, you know, one bad throw from Tannehill, the one where he throws the pick to Raymond. He's got the inside of the field open to him at that point and just kind of overshot it, tried to go over the shoulder and was picked on that play. But especially in the first half, the Titans offense in the first half, I mean, they did whatever they wanted to do those first three drives. I mean, they were efficient. They ran the ball well. They threw the ball to Firkser. A.J. Brown had a couple of big catches. They just moved the ball so efficiently. And, you know, they have to. We're going to get into the defense a little bit later. It may just be time to call it what it is. That defense is not good. It's not a good defense. But That offense, it's going to have to be the formula and how the Titans win games. And they certainly, especially in the first half yesterday, they did whatever they wanted to do moving the ball.
Yeah, they did. And look, if they're gonna do anything close to what they want to do this year, the defense has to become decent. It's not decent right now. It's bad. This game was almost, I think, over in the third. So it's 21-10. And they're just moving down the field again. Now, Jonnu Smith gets hurt on that drive, and I think he'll be fine, by the way. I mean, of the two guys, really key guys who got hurt, he was running on his foot. It was some kind of a foot or ankle thing, but he should be fine. But, you know, you get down quickly down into, you know, that's the 45-yarder to Firkser. And then you actually get Tannehill sacked. That was Saffold getting beat. Get yourself pushed back. They were about to make it 28-10. It's going to be over. He gets sacked, and then the 27-yard field goal gets blocked.
Yep.
And that was the start of the game flipping. Then the Texans quickly come down and score. That was a bomb. I mean, there was some coverage stuff yesterday, you know, that had to have been not just guys getting beat, but like coverage mix-ups. Just a bad all-around thing. But then you have a clutch play or two on defense, too, that you got to keep in mind. This game's over if Jeffrey Simmons doesn't tip that two-point conversion.
Yeah.
And also, before the Henry run, of course, he had one of the most, like, ridiculous Aaron Donald moment sacks, you know, of the season.
It was nice to see him back in there yesterday for the Titans.
I mean, seriously, like, that guy, how much of it – that's the thing. The defense overall is very disappointing. It's not good. That guy is something else.
Just think about where they'd be without him. I mean, we saw a little glimpse of it against Buffalo.
Of course, they went by 26. But
they did. But,
but yeah, there were times.
13-17, third down.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I mean, third down wasn't a whole lot better yesterday, but it wasn't as bad as 13-17. But my goodness. I mean, that defense, it was, got some problems.
It was 7-14, which is bad, and yet that helps the Titans' numbers. because they came into the game at 60% absolute dead last in the NFL. So they got a lot of stuff to figure out. Now, Adoree Jackson coming back. Yeah, that'll help. That'll help for sure. But you've got to – I mean, these guys have got to – again, Jadeveon Clowney made a couple plays and almost made a bunch of other plays.
I'm over almost.
There's a lot of almost. Harold Landry makes some plays out there. But, you know, then they get – they just get – they only give up like 90 yards rushing, but they get like a third and 11 or a second and 11 or whatever, and they give up a 9-yard run. You know, like they
– yeah.
They're just right now. It's just not all coming together in one pie. You know, well, it's a bunch of pieces kind of moving all over the place.
Well, the funniest part to me of the whole game was the coin toss in overtime, because the Titans win the toss. I think Kevin Byard was out there taking the toss for the Titans. Deshaun Watson for the Texans. And as soon as they win the toss, Deshaun Watson throws his head back, and you can hear him on the broadcast just go, "Oh." It's almost like he knew. Like he knew, I'm not getting the ball. I'm not touching it. The Titans are going to drive right down the field and score a touchdown. I mean, it was hilarious.
That was, it's like sometimes, like, you know, whoever has the ball last wins. That was like whoever gets the ball wins.
Yeah. Like it really felt that way. Like I was sitting there. That was maybe the most anticipation I've ever had for a coin toss in my life, because I knew whatever offense gets the ball here, they're probably going to go down and score.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they did. Titans made it look pretty easy, too, in overtime.
They did. Again, the huge play to Henry. Now, they had that look earlier, and I want to say that was tipped, right? So that was the second time they ran that with the look that they wanted, which basically puts Henry in space with one guy.
And good luck at that point.
You'll take that. And I think that's, you know, that's probably an underneath zone look where, you know, you've got space. It's not like there's a linebacker on him, you know, from the start. So he's got space to size him up. And, yeah, he almost scored, but it was that easy. That offense is I think it changes if you don't have Lawan. But they've got some potential answers, too. We'll get into that later, too.
When we come back, we'll get your reaction to the big Titans win yesterday. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also get into a little bit more of King Henry's big day yesterday. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
A day like this, I know a lot of your teammates have been talking after the game about, you know, seeing you do some of these things, you know, that even surprises them at times. I mean, do you get enjoyment even looking up at the board after a run like that or something like that? Do you take some enjoyment in some of these plays you're able to make?
No, I'm praising my teammates. You guys are incredible. A lot of guys made plays today. It just wasn't me. I just had to go out there and do my job. And a lot of guys were big in critical moments. All my teammates, happy to be on this team, happy to be part of this organization. We're 5-0, playing good team football. No matter what, no matter how the game's going, we don't quit. We stay together and finish games. So just happy to be on this team. All my teammates are doing an incredible job, and hats off to them. Ain't nothing about me.
Well, that Derrick Henry's a humble guy, Joe Rexroad. Must be nice. If I was that good at football, I probably wouldn't be.
It was a fumbling question there, trying to get Derrick to say something. Yeah, Derek always praises his teammates. He did have – he had some funny stuff, though. He's like – he was asked about going – TD asked him about going 21.6 miles an hour, which is fourth fastest in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
21.6 – by the way, try,
that
try to
size.
Someone go on a treadmill and like put it at, you know
– don't do that.
8 miles an hour. Okay. See how fast you're running.
I thought you were going to tell him to put him at 20.
No, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. No, you'll die. but he was like, yeah, I should have gotten it to 22, so that was good. But he's just ridiculous. I don't know what else to say about the guy. But here you go. So that was crazy too. By the way, we were listening to that as on the screen behind you, Rob.
Yeah, on ESPN.
That was basically synced up with the highlights of Derrick Henry. Now they're showing the Wildcat run again. That was the first snap of the whole day for the Titans from the five or in. Okay. They had not had a snap all day from the five. Because I'm trying to understand in my head how Arthur Smith gets to let's run the Wildcat there.
Yeah.
That's gutsy. Because if you don't get it, so either you're going to go on fourth, it's very possible a team's going to stop you from the five on the Wildcat. Yeah. Right? And it didn't look like that was like a jump pass option play. That was
no, he was going.
No, he was going. But that was the first snap of the whole day from the five or in. And a great stat by the Titans that put out last week. Derrick Henry has the best TD percentage in the NFL since the start of the 2018 season on snaps from the five or in. I think it was 58%, 18 of 31 going into yesterday. So now he's 19 for 32. But still, man, like there must have been a look they loved, right, with the Wildcat. They were like, as soon as we get there, we're using it. But that's third down and overtime. Also, you don't have your left tackle. But they just caved him in, man. And also, I mean, Henry had to adjust that. At first, he was looking right a little bit, mm-hmm. and then he brought it left. Man, I can't overstate, like, the gutsiness of that call. And, again, like, if it doesn't work out, who knows?
I mean, you got a decision right to make there, yeah.
That's the classic, you know, open yourself up for second guessing. But, hey, give your best player a chance to win the game.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our man Brandon in Spring Hill text in, you guys are forgetting about Bo Jackson. Bo had that ability to truck guys like Henry does, but also the home run speed as well. Unfortunate, his career was cut short due to his hip injury.
That's a great point. That's a great point. He's the closest to this, for sure. And Bo Jackson, as an all-around athlete, I think you could make the case – best athlete I've seen in my life, because I got to see him. Actually, I got to see him quite a few times playing baseball, and he was a great baseball player. It's close for sure on that. It is close. That would be the closest comparison. I still think it's a little bit more extreme with Derek than Bo, just in the contrast of the power and the speed. It's close, though.
He was clutch yesterday, though. Just the plays he made, and you heard Vrabel kind of talk about it after the game in terms of, you know, just picking a team up on his back and carrying them forward. I mean, he just – you've been waiting for the big one to pop off. And he had a few yesterday. I think he had an 18-yarder. He had a 34-yarder. We talked about the 50-yard reception in overtime. And then, of course, the 94-yard touchdown run when really things were starting to unravel for the Titans. He brought him back into that game with that run. Just key plays at key times, and the more that game wore down yesterday, the more he just had his way with the Texans defense. I mean, we had Aaron Reese on from The Athletic last week, who covers the Texans, and he laid it all out there. I mean, he said Texans were going to be vulnerable to the run. Derrick Henry could have a pretty big day against that defense. He certainly did. But it wasn't just how he did it yesterday. The key plays – in key times, it was just – you could tell that the Titans had so much confidence in him carrying the ball. And you could also tell – and this is kind of what happened against Baltimore as well in the playoffs. Like, even when Houston knew it was coming, they couldn't do anything to stop it. And that's when you know things are clicking pretty well for your offense.
Yeah, I mean, the big ones are great, obviously. And the 94-yarder, you know, really changed the game back again. I mean, they were down. It puts them back up. They also had a lot of, you know, a lot of those inside runs where it was 4 and 5 and it's been 2 and 3.
Yep.
And that makes a difference. Again, so is it opponent? Sure. I mean, on the 94-yarder, Zach Cunningham kind of got sucked in and then he couldn't recover when Henry cut it back to that lane. And the Texans have not been good there. So it's always relative to your opponent. And I'm sure the Steelers are going to had put a lot of work into stopping Derrick Henry, but this was a reminder of what he is. By the way, he is now on – he is off the pace of the all-time – so I had this in my comment. I'm gonna find my numbers here. He's off the pace now of the all-time single-season record for carries. He's actually on a pace under 400. So they're cutting his workload down. But you know,
only 22 yesterday.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy McNichols yesterday, one of the Firkser we talked about.
He averaged 10 yards pop yesterday.
Yeah, he's 50 yards rushing, couple catches for 11 yards. I mean, he had some big moments in that game. But Derrick Henry now, so he's on a pace for less than 400 carries, so 394. He's also on a pace right now for 1,882 yards. So what's – I mean, we're talking about Tannehill, and my guy Kyle Tucker went ahead and did his Tannehill for MVP piece, but do the Titans have two guys who could be at least – mentioned in the discussion? I mean, as long as they're the longer you go as an undefeated team, or you know, even if you're like 7-1, 9-1, 10-2, you're one of those elite teams. People are going to look at you in that way, and I don't think there's any other team that could even possibly come up with two names. Right? This is the only team that could possibly come up with two names.
Doesn't that hurt them though? Like in terms of the overall conversation. Like I remember having this type of conversation about the Norris Trophy with the Predators back when they had, you know, Subban and Yossi together.
Right.
Like, do they hurt each other in that conversation? Like, look, even with Tannehill playing as well as he's played, and we're going to get into that a little bit more here in just a second, but people are going to notice Derrick Henry do things like he did yesterday, and they're still going to say, all right, this is Derrick Henry's team. And look, I mean, I can't sit here and blast people for saying it's Derrick Henry's team when he pulls off, you know, 212 yards, two touchdowns, an additional 50 yards or through the air yesterday. But people are going to look at what he did yesterday and just be like, all right. I mean, yeah, Ryan Tannehill, anybody can play quarterback when Derrick Henry's out there doing stuff. I think maybe having two at that level, maybe it hurts you in the MVP race. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure the Titans don't really care about that. But
no. Yeah, right. Like, if again, you're only in that discussion because the usual suspects are still way ahead. You know, the Mahomeses and the Lamar Jacksons, the Russell Wilsons. I think Aaron Rodgers probably took a little hit there. Sorry, Packers fans.
I've already driven that game from my memory.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those you just throw it in the trash. But just to have, I mean, if there's any discussion of it, it means as a team you're doing really well. So I want to see if you agree with this. My first line, Derrick Henry is the new Marcus Mariota. You agree or do you think that's an idiotic thing to say?
What does that mean?
What it means is that
he's... scared me a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with shock value right from the start.
Well, you got it.
What I wrote was, you know, because he's the face of he's the face of sports in Nashville, not just of the franchise. He is the guy we talk about now.
Yeah.
Now, the reason we talked about Mariota for years was, is he good? Is he not good? You know, that whole thing. Most of the time I've lived here, it was people screaming about Mariota on one side or the other,
yes,
right? Until it was over, and then it's like, oh, wait, Tannehill's way better. But that's, you know, the similarity too in personality. They're both tough guys. You know, they're guys who are very quiet, don't like to say a lot, all that stuff. The difference,
unless
of course,
you're Earl Thomas,
right? Like, yeah, you'll get a little one here or there, a little glimpse of it. But the difference also is, I mean, 5-0, and this guy is just unquestionably great, and he's pure. I mean, right now it's just pure like joy for a Titans fan. I mean, how much fun have there been a team since the Titans have been here that's more fun than this team?
I mean, that 99 team was pretty fun, but it was just a lot different than this.
It was still a defensive team, right? Yeah. It was great D, and you had a tough quarterback and a great running back, but it wasn't this.
No, it wasn't this. This is the offense, and I don't even know. Like, it's probably not even fair to say this is the offense, because I think even this type of offensive play would have been maybe unrealistic expectations for what you're looking for out of your group. I mean, you're talking about yesterday, a quarterback that threw for 360 and a running back that had 260 yards of total offense. I mean,
it's never happened before.
It's just insane.
The NFL's never seen it before.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So, but yeah, I mean, this is the most fun Titans offense by far that I've seen. Now, people are saying maybe this is the best Titans team ever. They got a lot of work to do on the other side of the ball before I'll agree with that statement.
Pump the brakes.
But, I mean, the potential is there, but, man, they got some work to do over there. But this offense, far and away, I think the best offense they've ever had.
They also, all of a sudden now, have a field goal thing. Like, Gostkowski kicks nine straight. And, again, if those two chip shots, you know, he misses one, he gets the other one blocked, then it's a different game at the end, too. So all of a sudden we're talking about special teams again. It's either like absolutely the best in the world or the worst in the world. Yeah. Interesting team.
When we come back, where does Ryan Tannehill belong in the MVP conversation in the NFL through the first five games of the season? We'll talk about that next. But first, hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times. It's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more important for our children and our team. So please join Stars for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This six-week campaign will launch on Monday, October 19th, and run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways Stars provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.com. That's starsnashville.org. Excuse me, not .com, starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Mike, just how much confidence do you and just the rest of the team have in both Dirk and Ryan, no matter the situation, to make those key clutch plays late in games?
Well, it takes, you have to have, done it with some consistency to be able to build, that kind of confidence. And so I think that there's times in all three phases where we start to do that. We start to build that confidence and, we'll have to continue to do that. We got to get our bodies rested. So it was a tough turnaround, for a team that was clearly, ready and they played well. And again, I just give our guys a lot of credit. All the credit goes to the players. I'll have to do a better job of continuing to coach, in all three phases.
Met Mike Vrabel, always looking to improve, Joe Rexrode. What a question by you, too. There's a little bit of robot Rexrode there.
Well, you went back a little bit, I had my earbuds in, and it was really messed up. And he's I think he was like, maybe you guys are going to have to start texting me your questions. So, took out the earbud. Yeah, the press box is really interesting after these games. We're all there doing the Zoom calls, but we're all kind of yelling at each other too, especially yelling at Buck because, we're all just making fun of Buck all the time.
Professional behavior going on in the press box.
As usual, yeah. Now, some people go into those little phone booths. They got these little phone booths in the press box that are like from like the 80s, dial up your internet and send your story. But, lively post-game. And, yes, Vrabel, you ask about a specific thing. We need everybody to get better, or everyone's doing well, or you bring it to the whole group. Bring it to the whole group whenever you can.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty text in, morning, boys. I lost my mind yesterday. Definitely going to lose a few years off of my life with this Titans team. Tighten up. He was a little hairy yesterday.
But see,
but it's a good kind of,
Right, when you're in. Yeah, but do you feel it seems to me, like, I understand these games are nerve-wracking for fans, but I would assume Titans fans would probably feel as calm in these situations as you could feel just because, don't you expect Tannehill to get
winning.
It done now?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I thought so. Yes, I'm like, yeah, he'll lead them down the field.
Like, when they went on that last drive and just the efficiency with which they did it. And by the way, A.J. Brown wasn't even on the field until, he was on the field the first play, and he was off the field for, three or four plays in a row. And I was like, and he's leading them down the field with Khalif Raymond and Anthony Firkser. And here he is, just matriculating that ball down the field, as Hank Stram used to say. And they get all the way to the end zone. A.J. Brown's back in the game, throws the fade route, and they score. And it just wasn't surprising to me. And that's a credit to Ryan Tannehill and just how valuable he's been for this team. And it gets you – we talked about it a little bit on the show last week, Joe. Kyle Tucker threw the idea out there of putting him in the MVP conversation. I mean, to me, he's got to be right now, right? I mean, I know Derrick Henry had a great game yesterday. I still think Ryan Tannehill is the MVP of this team so far. And I look around the league, I'd probably still put Russell Wilson, the leader in the clubhouse, My guy, Aaron Rodgers, was bad yesterday, but he's still up there somewhere. But Tannehill, I think, is right there in that mix. I really do, with Mahomes and Wilson, Rodgers right now. I mean, I think Tannehill's got to be in that conversation.
Yeah, now I'll go back to some more yelling in the press box. Kyle took some crap yesterday for, you know, we're talking about MVP right now. I mean, and I understand the sentiment. Like, really? At this point in the season, we're going to talk about MVP? But, hey, what are we doing here? We're talking about sports. I mean, you talk about MVP right away, right? I mean,
talk about Heisman in college football after, like, week two.
Yes. Yes. I brought up that point yesterday. I'm like, Michigan football's had a whole bunch of September Heismans. You know? I mean, listen, it's an ongoing discussion, and I would have to say that if you filled out a top five list, I would have to think Tannehill would be on it. I mean, like you said, those guys, okay, Mahomes, Jackson, Wilson, and Rodgers. And then I think probably Tannehill. I mean, it's a quarterback-obsessed league. I could make the case, okay, who's the best player on the Titans team? I would say Derrick Henry is.
Yeah.
But the quarterback is a quarterback. It's the most important position in the game. That's just how it is. And this team's quarterback is, we just talked about, is this the most fun team to watch that the Titans have ever had in Nashville? Is this the best quarterback play the Titans have ever had in Nashville? I mean, Steve McNair shared an MVP with Peyton Manning in 2003. So,
yeah,
that's some heady stuff.
I think
there.
People kind of like roll their eyes when people talk about that. But McNair was never at this level that we're seeing at Tannehill right now. And I know, look, I was there. I watched every snap Steve McNair ever took for the Titans, and he was great. And he was a different kind of great. Like, he wasn't just, you know, mowing people down, throwing the ball down the field. He was tough. When you needed a big play, he was going to make a big play, whether it was through the air or on the ground. But he never played like this. Like, this is just a different – and some of it is the league. Like, it's just different now
right.
than it was back then. But Ryan Tannehill is playing at a level right now at quarterback that we've never seen.
I mean, the system QB stuff, when Kyle and I were sitting there yesterday, after dart, because that's sort of, again, it's a terrible, it's just bad commentary. Like, you know, the idea that somehow the system benefits him so he shouldn't be, again, every single quarterback, that's exactly true, right?
Just a system throw in between two guys to Anthony Firkser down the field,
right.
45
yeah,
yards.
Lofted over. Yeah. I mean, it's, no, he's awfully good. I mean, it's some of the best. I mean, live covering someone, I've never seen quarterback play this good. Now, of course, I should. That's not necessarily true. Like, when you're the team that's playing the team that you cover,
right?
You might see a Hall of Famer here or there, whatever.
Like,
right?
Mahomes last year in the AFC title game, pretty good.
That was all right. He was all right. Yeah, but consistently watching this, I'm like, this is something to behold, and. You know, they held up late. I still think that the whole story of him and this offense, it is a lot, or at least a decent chunk, about protection and about him. He stands in there where even some great quarterbacks in this league, I think, don't stand in to the extent that he does. I mean, he takes some hits. Even on plays where he has good protection, he takes hits because he stands in. And like the A.J. Brown TD. That took a long time for him to weave all the way around, cross, and finally clear.
Yeah.
And that's just an easy little pitch and catch for a TD. But you have to hang in there a long time for that to happen. And that's what he's doing. Is that going to continue moving forward?
That's a great question. But, I mean, right now, the combination of him knowing, you know, it just seems like every decision he makes, for the most part, maybe one or two per game or not, but every decision he makes seems like it's the right one. Right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. He talked about that pick too. And he was like, if he lays that up a little bit short and lets Raymond run under it going to his left,
could be a huge play.
Yeah. I mean, he could even outrun him. But the way he threw it, it was great. It was a great read by the DB. The DB was ready for it and he was back and he just, you know, overthrew him and it was a great play and a big play. I mean, those two turnovers, again, you don't put the first one really on Tannehill. He got blasted. And by the way, Tyson Brown on that play, we haven't talked about that, but, like, he tried to pick it up and run with it.
Yeah, just fall on the ball, man.
Yeah. I think two guys tried to do
yes.
that. Did Saffold try to do that, too?
Yes, just fall on the ball.
Yeah. So those turnovers turn the game, but you still feel like, yeah, they'll figure it out because they got Tannehill quarterback.
Yeah. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our boy Hibbs text in, through 6 weeks, is it time to fire up the Vrabel for Coach of the Year talk? That's an interesting question.
I mean, if we're talking about all these awards, we can and again, like, it's funny because that one to me, I'm like, come on, how are we talking about that right now? Because it's so much about your final bottom line. I feel like the MVP discussion is easier to talk about because you have an accumulation of stats each week, and so you can kind of compare more than just, okay, this team's 5, no, this team's 4-1, whatever, right?
Right.
But, shoot, I mean, if they keep winning, so Gentry S has had a great tweet. He's like, they can go 5-6 the rest of the year and, like, have a better record than last year, you know? So, like, if they're a 12-13 win team this year, then all those things are going to be possible. It's so much of it just follows team success.
Well, I want to throw this out at you because I saw this circulating last night on social media, and a couple people talked about it right when it happened in the game. The 12 men on the field penalty for the Titans.
Right.
And
another Vrabel special.
They've got 12 guys out there, and they're not making any effort whatsoever to get off the field. Like, there are 12 guys out there, and they're making it pretty obvious.
Like, please count us
that
up.
There are 12 guys out there. Vrabel, you can kind of see it on the broadcast, looks over there, and he did a little head nod to somebody. And look, we don't know what he said, what he was thinking, but the theory is that Vrabel sent 12 guys out there on purpose to get the clock stopped because it was 2nd and 1. You felt pretty good about Houston picking up the first down anyway. Why not just give them the first down, stop the clock, and save about 40 seconds? If he did that, and that's what happened, that is one of the most genius things I've ever heard of in my entire life.
Well, he did something similar to that, I think, against the Jets 2 years ago. And then, of course, he took advantage of the loophole last year with the clock as well and got Belichick all
just
freaking
fired up.
No, and that's the thing. In that moment, it's like if they go incrementally first down, first, and then they're just going to kill the clock and the game is going to be over. So, yeah, it was apparently – and that's a fail on our part as a press corps to not ask about that. There's so many things going on. That'll come up today when Vrabel talks. But, yeah, it looked that like absolutely intentional and effective, and they had enough time at the end.
It's incredible. Like, I wouldn't even think to do that. And, look, I don't know that he did it. And he probably – even if he did – he probably won't take credit for it. He'd be like, no, we just had 12 guys on the field.
I hope he talks about that today. I think he talked about that before with the Jets.
Okay.
I think he did.
Well, that is a wizard coaching move if that's what happened.
And it
worked out well.
Now, if he says, well, you know, all penalties we take are penalties. Yeah, come on. Tell us, Vrabel.
Well, because
tell us today.
You could see it. Like, right after they throw the flag, you can watch Vrabel on the sideline, and he just, like, hunches over. It is like he's just the most disastrous thing in the world. And I don't know if that's a sell job for the ref.
Really?
That's like it's interesting. You have to go back and look at it. But if he did that on purpose and took the 12 too many men on the field penalty to stop the clock and save them 40 seconds, he might deserve Coach of the Year just for that.
Got it.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Keep it in mind. He's in there.
When we come back, some awful news yesterday for the Titans potentially regarding one of the best players on offense. How does that change them as they move forward? We'll talk about that. But first, Joe, you have a word from FanDuel.
I absolutely do, and I'd like to let Tennessee know that sports betting is almost here and that FanDuel Sportsbook has an exclusive offer to get you started. FanDuel is giving users $50 in free bets for signing up. You heard that right. $50, free site credit, just register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They got odds on all the biggest sports. They got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. This weekend, I played a NFL game, fantasy game, very easy to do with the Sunday NFL Primetime Showdown. I did pretty well, too, by the way. And all with FanDuel, unlike other sports books, when you win, you get your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Right thing for you to do right now, download the FanDuel Sports app, check out the app for yourself, and when you register, use promo code Joe, J-O-E, so they know we sent you. Verify your account, you'll get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code Joe to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. The site credit is non-withdrawable, expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details and for gambling problem support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us on Saturday, November 14th to support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders' 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk powered by Enterprise Rental Car. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and it's on the certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. That's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars, powered by Enterprise Rental Car. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, potentially some bad news yesterday for the Titans. We saw Taylor Lewan go down. And quite frankly, when he went down, I was pretty concerned because I looked at the replay and he kind of swung out on the play. It was basically a wide receiver screen, and he swung out to try to block and spring. I don't remember who it was. It was A.J. Brown. Tried to spring A.J. Brown free. And I thought maybe that there was some knee-to-knee contact, and he just went down and, you know, knee-to-knee contact, it hurts, but it's not going to be, like, really, really bad. It's just probably going to be a bone bruise at that point. And then you saw the replay, and I don't think he made contact with really anyone on that play. Just went down and immediately just like was fidgeting around and looked at his knee and grabbed it and started rolling around in pain. And that's when I became very concerned that this could be something pretty serious for Taylor Lewan. He did not return to the game after that. And there was a report yesterday by Jay Glazer that the Titans fear it could be a torn ACL. Obviously, that would be awful news, not only for Taylor Lewan, but for the Titans as a whole. That totally changes what their offense looks like at that point. What do the Titans do if this is the worst, and maybe he's lost for the season at that point?
Yeah, it was. I mean, he's had a few things this year. He grabbed his knee, I think, at Denver, too, but I think that was just banging the knee. Of course, he had the shoulder thing at Minnesota and had to leave that game. This doesn't look good. I said earlier on the show that when he was walking off the field, you know, excuse me, he was looking for, looking for his family in the crowd, and had a very, very concerned look on his face. It's never a good sign. Then he goes in the injury tent, and then he's in the locker room the rest of the game. It's never a good sign when that's the case. I would say right now, you know, it's an MRI, and I've seen situations where ACL is feared, and it's not. I think usually it turns out that way, but not always. I have seen it where it's actually, you know, it's a sprain and it's a few weeks and it's not the full ACL tear. So, I mean, you know, hold out hope until then. But if he's gone, I mean, that is what the Titans drafted for this year. And yet you don't feel like it's going to matter. I mean, they drafted a tackle in the first round. So if you said this scenario back at the beginning of camp that, you know, by mid-October, Taylor Lewan would be lost, you would assume that Dennis Kelly would move to left tackle and Isaiah Wilson would be ready to play the position he was drafted to play, right tackle. My question is, moving forward, and I think Lewan, I think you can safely say he's probably out for at least a while.
Yes.
If it's not the absolute worst-case scenario, is there any chance Isaiah Wilson can play football for the Titans this year?
And, you know, they're one injury away from him maybe not having a choice. Like, you know?
Right.
I mean, and now the question becomes, if he's not, do you leave Cimbrio over there? Do you move Dennis Kelly over to left taco? Or left taco. What a time. Left taco.
Munson liked that one.
Oh boy!
What is the left taco?
I like the left. I like left and right tacos.
Yes, I will take any directional taco.
That is the greatest fumble of words ever.
It could have been a lot worse.
Because your hot takes in sports just sound so delicious right now.
Oh man!
Like a street taco.
I don't even know how I recover from that. Left taco. I'm gonna make T-shirts out of that.
This reminds me of, you know,
if the Titans would like to move me to left taco.
Dallas Cowboys.
Sign me up.
Dallas Cowboys have a, you know, Taco Charlton, by the way, is a player in the NFL. So,
well, he'd be perfect for that position.
Yeah,
then.
He's a defensive player, though.
Taco but. Fall, NBA. Anyway,
that's right.
Do you move Dennis Kelly to left tackle at that point?
No.
You don't?
I don't think so. I think that Dennis Kelly's doing really well at right tackle. I think he's better there. You know, think back to last year, and I think a lot of it was also Saffold in his first few games, right? But Lewan? Or Kelly, that left side really struggled. I think you roll with Sombrilo and say, and I need to ask him. I'm saying Sombrilo sometimes, and I'm saying Sombrilo sometimes.
I've heard both.
We got to get that figured out. That's more important now. But I think you go there, and then now if Isaiah Wilson can get going, then you make that move.
Yes,
with Dennis Kelly and Isaiah. But I like this point, that seems so far away.
Now the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com is exploding with taco gifts. So thank you all out there for being on your game this morning.
I love the text line. I love the text line. So you've actually got pictures of tacos on your phone all over the place now. Let's see.
I mean, we're on radio, so nobody else can see. But I'll show you.
It's a dancing taco.
Yeah, it's a dancing taco.
See,
of the things that you could slip and say, that one wasn't that bad.
That was a hot sauce take by you.
Thank you.
We can have a little fun even with a less joyful segment that we're having right now.
Yes, yes. We obviously wish the best to Taylor Lewan, and hopefully news comes out today that it's not as bad as we're all fearing right now. But, you know, that it certainly seems like it could be the case that he's done for the year.
If it's a best case, I would think, well, yeah, but basically after he gets looked at and he's not there anymore, best case is probably a sprain in a few weeks. So even in that case, you know, this discussion is relevant in terms of what do the Titans do. Isaiah Wilson, I mean, you were drafted in the first round. You know, for a team that just got to the AFC title game, you draft someone in the first round as a team that's that close. And to me, the expectation is that person is going to have some kind of contribution in year one.
Let's be honest here, and I know that it's a different circumstance, and this year is different for a variety of reasons, but the fact that this happened yesterday and Isaiah Wilson wasn't in a place where he could have stepped in yesterday is disappointing to me. I mean, he's inactive yesterday.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's absolutely disappointing.
He was on the COVID list for a month. Obviously, we know he's had troubles, in particular the DUI. So there's been a lot of growing pains, a lot of tough moments, a lot of need for him to mature, clearly. And then he was not in shape during camp, too. He was not in the kind of shape he needed to be in during camp. So what has been going on in the last few weeks in terms of people mentoring him, trying to get him mentally ready to play the position, him getting in shape, all those things, the last few weeks that we really haven't even thought about him, really are important right now. What have the Titans been doing to get him ready? Because it's still early here, man. They're 5-0. They got 11 more games.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, Isaiah Wilson should be expected to have some kind of role here.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, forget Isaiah Wilson. He doesn't play for the Titans. We don't need him. Problem is, you do need him now. I mean,
he does play for the Titans. He's your first round pick.
Well, I think they're saying we haven't seen him yet. Like, there's no evidence that he's out there.
Yeah, that's true. He'll be active next game.
Yes.
The question is, because I always thought at least Isaiah Wilson, you know, throw him in some jumbo looks at the goal line or something, right?
Yeah.
Like, simple, go hit that guy, you know. But
move him out of the way.
It's an interesting situation. Then you also have the trading deadline coming up. I mean, is it possible the Titans could look around and try to at least add depth there if they don't feel like in a pinch that Isaiah Wilson could come in and even just be competent? I don't know.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan with Dixon County Fire and Rescue text in. Somebody texted in and called me crazy for the shot I called last Friday. The Steelers absolutely destroyed the Browns. Thank you to that texter for my motivation. Steelers look good yesterday.
Well, I mean, that texter was probably a Browns fan, and it was felt disrespected, so maybe that's why.
Maybe so.
Text battles.
Goodness.
I like it.
I like it. Text
some texter battle. Yeah, that was, my goodness. That was, first of all, like, oh, yeah, we're still the Cleveland Browns.
But.
And it was also Steelers, man. Look pretty good coming in here Sunday.
But Devin Bush,
that's a tough loss.
That's a big loss.
Yeah, that might be pretty
He's
bad.
A very good player. That's a big loss for them. Do the Titans get like number one team on the announcers here this week?
Maybe some Nance and Romo?
Is it about that time? I think it's about that time.
I think it's about that time. I mean, what other games can you think
of? 2-5-0 teams.
Right. I mean, it's time for – this is big time. There's three unbeaten teams left in this league. And the Seahawks don't play this week, so three left.
Yeah.
And the Steelers are still mad.
Do you think that's going to be a thing?
I don't know.
We're going to have all week to talk about the Steelers, but do you think that'll be a thing heading into this game? Steelers just mad that they had to switch their bye week around?
I think if
they're
they can
5-0.
I think if they can get over, you know, a Browns player hitting one of their players in the head with a helmet, well, I'm pretty sure they can get over this, right?
I mean, they got over it, but they just beat the crap out of the Browns yesterday. 38-7.
They did. Yeah, sure. So maybe that, yeah, maybe they come in here with a little extra edge. I don't know. I would hope that all that stuff is behind everyone and let's move forward.
When we come back, we have spent the first hour pumping sunshine into the Titans, and deservedly so. 5-0, undefeated. It's some exciting times to be a Tennessee Titans football fan. There is still a gigantic problem with this Titans defense, and how do you go about fixing that as you go up against Big Ben and the Steelers later this week? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.